Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
My guest is Gene Lang. He is a cartoonist. He's known as a cartoonist, and he's out with a new book, Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. And Gene, this is a 400 and some page, some would describe it as a cartoon book, a graphic novel. But it covers a high school basketball team in California. So can you kind of set up what your connection was to this basketball team before we get into the actual book itself?
Yeah. I was not expecting it to be 400-something pages. Originally, when I proposed it, it was supposed to be 200 pages, and it just kept growing. So this is my first nonfiction graphic novel. Up until this point, I'd always made up my stories. This is the first time where I actually discovered a story in real life. I used to be a high school teacher. I taught at Bishop Odite High School in Oakland, California. I was a computer science teacher there. But my last year there, I followed the varsity men's team. And the reason why I followed the varsity men's team was because I became friends with the coach of that team, a guy named Lou Ritchie, who is also a PE teacher. He told me this crazy story from when he was in high school. He went to that same high school. He went to Bishop Odite when he was a junior. He was on the basketball team. He was a point guard. They went to the California State Championships. They played in the Oakland Coliseum, which is now the Oracle Arena. And with 7 seconds left, he's on the court. His team is down by one. He gets the ball in his hands. He puts it up at the buzzer. It goes through. His team wins by one. He freaks out. Everybody's jumping up and down on the court celebrating. And then the ref's whistle comes over the intercom. The ref actually invalidates that shot. That's the biggest shot of Lou's life. Invalidates that shot because supposedly O'Dowd Center has his hand on that rim as that ball is falling through. So he loses. They lose. He's like 40-something when he's telling me this story. We're sitting in his office. He reaches over his desk. He pulls out a DVD of that tape from the 1980s. He hands it over to me, and he says to me, "Gene, you take this home and you watch it. You tell me if that kid's hand was on the rim." So I did. I took it home and I watched it. And I got to tell you, it is really unclear whether or not his hand was on the rim. So this old hurt from when he was 17 years old is still haunting Coach Lou Ritchie. He comes back. He becomes an assistant coach and a head coach. He leads 5 different teams to the California State Championships, and they lost all 5 times. So I followed him during the 2014-2015 season to see if he would actually finally redeem this old hurt from his teenage years.
You know, I've read graphic novels before, and they are, number one, they're mostly fiction. I think of The Road to Perdition by Max Allen Collins, one of my favorite graphic novels I've ever read. This one is not only nonfiction, but you've interjected yourself as a character into it. And so when you do that, how does that give it an even more difficult challenge to make yourself a character? Because it's hard to write yourself as a character in somebody else's story.
Yeah, it really is. I was not planning on being a part of the book at all. When I put in that proposal for a 200-page graphic novel, I was planning on just focusing on the players and the coaches. But then as I went on, you know, I realized I had all these different weaknesses as a storyteller. First, I'm not a basketball guy. I did not grow up playing basketball. Really, the reason why I wanted to follow this team was because of the story that I discovered. You know, I'm a story guy. So I didn't know a ton about basketball at the beginning of the season. And also, I feel like in terms of my background, I'm an Asian American. I grew up in the suburbs of San Jose. And this team was pretty diverse. You know, some of those kids did have upbringings that mirrored mine. But then there were also other kids that were raised in very different circumstances. And I felt like because we didn't have a ton of overlap, that was also kind of a weakness as a storyteller. So for me to be real about those weaknesses, I had to put myself into the narrative so I could actually talk to the reader about that.
And admittedly, not being a sports guy, what did you do to kind of at least learn about basketball enough to have an intelligent conversation with people that have been playing basketball their whole lives?
Yeah, even now, I am definitely not an expert. I do consider myself a basketball fan, and I'm glad that fan and expert are two different things. But I started by reading, really. I started reading these books about basketball history just to get to know the sports. But what I discovered in those books was so fascinating to me that I ended up including some of it in Dragon Hoops. That's another reason why it eventually grew to to 400-something pages. I found that what I was reading in these books about basketball history really affected the way I was watching this team play, watching Lou's team play. There's just a lot of resonance between what happened in the past and what was happening right in front of my eyes. I'll give you one example. One was the historic game in 1948 between the Lakers and the Globetrotters. That really was a watershed moment, not just for basketball, but really for race relations in America. You know, it happened on a basketball court, but its implications were much wider. And I really did see how that game played in the 1940s affected what I was seeing today.
Well, and even mentioning race relations, the Ferguson verdict happened in the as the season was getting started. How did that affect the kids on this team?
Yeah, that was a really strange night. You know, it kind of came unexpectedly. It was right before the very first game where the kids would be in uniform. The team is based in Oakland, so Oakland was really in turmoil after that decision was announced. Coach Lou had all these calls from the parent community, even from the students themselves, even from the players themselves, to make a statement. And ultimately what he decided was he decided that the statement would be how that team played. I detail how that game went for that team in the book, and it just did not go very well. That's another example of how, you know, what happens outside the court really does influence what's on the court and vice versa.
Talking to kids, interviewing kids, is a trick in and of itself. Some are not talkative, some are way talkative, but for the most part, you have to pry information out of them. So how did you develop the relationships with the kids who you may not have had in class in order to get them to open up to you?
Yeah, some of the kids, it was very easy, but because, as you said, I did have them in class. A kid named Arinze, he was in my computer programming class. We'd already developed a rapport. And then some of the other kids, it was not as easy. And that was something that I really wrestled with. I felt like if I was a journalist, I would have to pry. But I was a teacher, right? I was a teacher, and I was also a cartoonist. So in the end, I really felt like I had to respect the boundaries that they put up, you know? I think that's true for athletes in general. I feel like athletes really give us their all when they're on the field, when they're on the court. And sometimes it just doesn't seem like our business to pry into their lives outside of the court and outside of the field.
Just out of curiosity standpoint, did you have to get permission from the players' parents to use their children, their minor children, in a book like this?
I had a long talk with both other authors who have done books like mine. I was not able to track down anybody who was a cartoonist, but I did talk to people who had written books in prose. You know, there was somebody who wrote a book called The Last Shot, which followed a team of high school kids in the 1990s, I believe. And I talked to him about some of the legal stuff. And I also talked to people who knew the legal side of things. What I was told was that because some of their games were televised, that they are kind of public figures. But even so, I wanted to be really careful. You know, I tried to make sure I did not include anything in the book that was private, that they didn't want to share with the world.
I'm talking with Gene Yang about his new book, Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps. The book's available now wherever your fine books are sold. It's a great book to have the kids read while they are off school now during this coronavirus pandemic. Gene, with an illustrated book like this, how does the process work? You're writing the words. You have an illustrator to come in. How does that process work that you get the dialogue down and match it up with the pictures?
Well, for Dragon Hoops, I did both the writing and the art. I didn't do the coloring. The coloring is done by an artist named Lark Pien, who's absolutely amazing. I do have other books, though. I do some work for DC Comics and for Marvel. And for those books, I only do the writing. Somebody else handles the art. So for me, when I'm both writing and drawing a book, I start with the words. In this case, I start with interviews, and I also start with notes that I took at the games that I attended. And then from there, I'll do thumbnail sketches, which are small sketches of what the panels ought to look like. And these are really loose. Once that's done, I'll put those panels into pages, and then I'll actually draw the pages. So Dragon Hoops is the very first time where I drew it completely digitally. I drew it on a Wacom tablet, which is basically a computer monitor that is sensitive to a stylus. It's the very first time I've ever done a book like this. And it was fun, but there were also moments of frustration for sure.
Are you drawing it freehand on the computer? Because I'm fascinated when you have so many panels.
Yeah. The technology nowadays is really amazing. So I drew in two programs and two pieces of software. One was Photoshop. The other one was called Clip Studio. And they really do mimic how ink reacts to paper. It's kind of shocking. How amazing it is now.
Well, when you have a character, I mean, let's just take you for example. The pictures all look fairly similar. I mean, other than the facial features, that you know, if you're smiling or frowning or whatever, or have your mouth open to talk. So, can you copy and paste that picture that you've done so you don't have to keep reinventing the wheel? I'm just fascinated how this works.
Yeah, sometimes you can. I absolutely did that, and thank you for saying that. I feel like consistency among within a character is something that I really struggle with. So I do do model sheets, which are they're kind of like these full figure drawings of each of my major characters, and I keep those taped up next to my Wacom tablet to try to stay consistent. But even then, I still struggle with consistency. But one of the great things about drawing digitally is that you can copy and paste. The other thing that is great about drawing digitally is you have that undo button, right?
Oh yeah,
which is way easier than using white out over black ink.
And this book is not just a memoir of a season. It's not just a personal story. There's also an educational story here. First steps are a theme that permeates throughout the book. Did that come to you as the season progressed, or where did that theme actually come to you? Because it works throughout the entire book.
Well, thank you. Thank you for noticing that. That was actually something that really impressed me about sports in general and about this team in particular. You know, I was not a kid who played sports. I was really terrible at especially basketball, which is very uncoordinated. So I gravitated towards comic books. You know, I started collecting comic books when I was in fifth grade. I got my first Superman comic at that point. And what I realized during the season following the Bishop O'Dowd Dragons is that both sports and superhero comics are forms of narrative. But there's one crucial difference, and the difference is that in a Superman comic, on that very first page, you know that Superman's going to win at the end. In a basketball game, at tip-off, you really have no idea what the outcome's going to be. So there's this level of uncertainty, right? And what I saw was these kids, these 14, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids, stepping out into that uncertainty over and over again. You know, they knew that many of their most vivid memories would be made on that court. And these would be memories that would bring them either joy or pain for the rest of their lives. You know, for a teenager, those are some pretty high stakes. But these kids were still able to step out into that uncertainty. I was really impressed by that as the season went on. You know, they would be in these televised games. They would be playing in front of giant crowds, and they were willing to still step out. So I felt like it really affected me. You know, I ended up making some decisions that had some risk to them after this season.
We're 5 years on since this season happened. Some of these kids are now adults. Some are just out of high school, year into college, whatever it happens to be. As the book's released, and I'm sure you hear from some of them, how do they look back on this period of their life? They can't be a peak at that age, but it has to be something that they'll never forget, especially now with how you've memorialized it.
Yeah. I just actually hung out with two of them in December. I hung out with Arinze and with Jeevan. Arinze is now playing for UC Riverside, or at least he was until his season was cut short. So Jeevan and I went and watched. It was great. It was great to connect. They've been nothing but positive. The way they see this season is that it's a year that has some of their most vivid childhood memories. Like you said, a lot of them are adults. Isaiah Thomas just became the first member of his family to earn a college degree, in part because of his time on the court. He was able to get a scholarship. Jeevan is ready to go to med school. He just got accepted. And then Arunze is finishing up at UC Riverside. It's great. I think that was one of the most gratifying things about being a high school teacher in general, was watching these kids. You know, you see them when they're maybe a little bit awkward, maybe a little bit shy, and then a few years later they'll come and visit you and you realize, wow, they're amazing adults now.
Well, it's just amazing how you took what's essentially a local or a state story and you turned it into something that resonates throughout the entire nation and maybe even the world. The book is Dragon Hoops, From Small Steps to Great Leaps by Gene Yang. The book is available now wherever your fine books are sold. It's a great one to pick up for the kids to enjoy and learn something from. Gene, just an absolute amazing effort here. I love the story. I loved everything about this book, and thanks for joining me to talk about it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Brian. It was a pleasure to be here.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskis. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.
In one shining moment, it's all on the line.